Our Bible class, we are going to, this Bible class is totally prepared for our dear brothers and sisters who has given their life unto Christ. This studies is going to help us well. And also we who has been in the Lord's church for a long time is going to help us to memory our thinking and also appreciate what God has done for us through his church. What we are going to learn today is the one true church. The one true church. The church in the Bible. This is a short time you are going to emphasize a little bit about that. You all know that in Matthew, Jesus came to this earth in Matthew 16, verse 18 and 19. Jesus promised to build his church. He died, resurrected, went to heaven. He gave the power unto the apostles. And you see that in the book of Acts, Peter has this authority to preach the first sermon. And we know that about 3,000 people were baptized in that day. And Acts 2:47, you read that it's God who added people to his church. That 3,000 was added into his church. One thing is Church of Christ or the Lord's church we are going to look in this morning, you don't join it. It's God who add you to the church. If God has not added you to the church, you come here and it seems like, unfortunately, maybe you leave this church. You leave it because you have been joining the church. We don't join the church. We allow ourselves for God to add us. There is a procedure God used to add us into his church. Today, you say the studies we are going to study is, he said, a study of the church of Christ in the New Testament. A study of the church of Christ in the New Testament. And the question is, did God has the church? Or in the Bible, there is a church in the Bible? That is the first question you have to ask. And the answer is yes. If you are patiently look through the Bible, you can see that God has the church in the Bible, and this is something he wants all people who has been saved was added into that place. Because Peter, John, Matthew, all these things, they don't have different denominations as now you see in this world. Say Jesus Christ and his church. This is what we are going to do. A lot of people are very confused in the church they have to attend. And even a lot of people say, oh, they will not even, they don't believe God anymore because of different denominations. Because all the denominations or a set, each denomination or set or religious body teaches a doctrine which is different from all the others. Each denomination wears a special name to distinguish it from all the others' denominations. Each denomination worships in a different manner for all of others. Yet, all of these different denominations claim to be following Christ. So the question is, are all churches right? Are all churches right? Is one church as good as another? This is the questions as we are studying the Bible we have to ask ourselves. If not, which church is the right church? Is it possible to find the one true church today? That is the question we have to answer for ourselves. The existence of this multiple of conflict denomination is not pleasing to God. That is why I say a lot of people are confusing, because people don't know, even don't believe God anymore because of different denominations. Let's read something about the Word of God in First Corinthians 14:33. 1 Corinthians 14:33, because all this teaching differently, all this saying, all well different names, is not pleasing God. It's not what God ordained. God wants the followers of Christ to be. 1 Corinthians 14:33. Yeah.
For God is not the author of faith, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints.
Yeah. So Paul is explaining to us here that God is not the problem. The problem is we human beings. We are not willing to obey or follow God's instructions. So all this confusion is not praising God. And people are sad that people are not following God anymore because of these different denominations. Even Jesus himself prayed that all his followers supposed to be one. Jesus himself even prayed that. I think we are even heard a sermon from that one time in from Bragari. Let's read John chapter 17, verse 17 to 23, how Jesus even prayed for his followers, those who are going to follow Jesus Christ. God wants us all to be united. John 17, verse 17 to 21. Yeah.
Sanctify them by your truth.
Yeah.
Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for that sake, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for this alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have brought them as you have loved me.
You see, if you follow the Bible instruction, you see God has the Bible has mentioned one a lot of times. You see, God or Jesus want all who follow him supposed to be one. So if Jesus even prayed for the followers to be one, there are three things you can learn from here. He said, one, surely unity is possible if the Lord pray for it. The Lord pray for unity. So unity is possible if the Lord pray for it. And the second, the lesson you can learn from John 17 to 23, also it says unity is essential in order that the world may believe. Unity is very, very essential. That's why I said a lot of people don't believe God anymore. Why? Because of unity. Because those who are following Christ or Jesus, God, they are not united. We have separated ourselves. And that doesn't please God. So unity is essential for people to believe God. And the third thing you can learn is unity is possible. Unity is possible if it is based upon the word of God. Unity is possible if you are all following what God has said in the Bible. You are going to be united because Jesus prayed for it. Last time I got a Wednesday class, I said this. That is three things you don't practice here. Three things you don't practice here. Isalinda, can you remember? Three things you don't practice in the Lord's church. That is what is causing the problem, is killing the Lord's church. What is the one? The first one. I think. A lot of different denominations, a lot of churches are established because of what they think. It's not because of what the Bible is saying. People think. You see, a lot of separation, divisions are causing the problem in the Lord's church because of what I think, what we think. You see, not what based on the scripture. You see, that is the problem. Another one,
I suggest.
That is a lot of suggestions. You input a lot of suggestions in the Lord's church. That is our problem. It's always killing the Lord's church. I think, I suggest, and the last one, I feel. These three things is killing the Lord's church. I think, I suggest, and I feel. A lot of people, they are doing something because of their feeling. If you say, oh, okay, you are saying this thing, please, can you prove to me? So that is just what I feel. I have done it so many years ago. It's what you are doing. It's killing the Lord's church, you see. So Jesus Christ prayed that we, all his followers, if you are following Jesus Christ, you have to be united. And that is very, very important. See, we must go to the Bible to find the one true church. So our lesson is Jesus Christ and his church. Jesus came to this earth and he established the church. You see, God created us, Adam and Eve, and put them on the Garden of Eden. They sinned. God removed them from there. He called Noah to build an ark. Noah also built an ark after he saved people, the righteous people. People also commit another sin again, and he authorized Jesus to come here, and also he built the church. So the church is a safe place. It's a place where it is deficient. We have learned efficient. A place of reconciliation. That is the place. That is the church. A church is the place of reconciliation. So if you want to be united, or if you want to follow God's instruction, you need to be on this Lord's church. You see, we must go to the Bible and find the one true church. And this is what we are going to do this morning with our short time. He said, we must test all things by the word of God. That is our problem. A lot of times you just accept anything, but God has authorized us to test it. You see, test it. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Because if you want to be united, or you want to follow or find the one true church in the Bible, you must test things. You see, you have to test everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Who has opened that place? So it is our duty. It is your duty, my duty, to prove it, to prove all things and hold it. What is good? I know that this is what the Bible is saying, this is the truth, then Bible encouraged me to what? To hold it, you see. And we must accept Jesus Christ as our only authority in religion. You see, a lot of people have come onto this earth after the ascending of Jesus Christ. So, in Christianity, or those who want to follow Jesus Christ, we must accept Jesus Christ as our only authority in religion. In a lot of quotations, you know, Matthew 28, verse 18. Almost you quote this one. Who can quote it for us? Matthew 28, verse 18. Yeah, Jesus came. When he rose up from the dead, he came that all authority has been given unto me. You see, all authority. So Jesus is the one who has authority. So we need to obey Jesus Christ rather than obeying our thinking or what you feel or what you suggest. Jesus asked a sad question in Luke 6:46. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. If you know it, you can cite it.
And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I said?
That is the question. That is the question Jesus is asking this morning, you and me. Why are you calling Jesus Lord, Lord? And you don't want to do what he's saying. You see, that is the problem of denominations. That is the problem causing the church. That is why a lot of people, we are dividing, because you don't want to do what God is saying. So Jesus asked this sad question, said that, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not want to do what I say? You see, that is a very sad question. Let's read John 14, verse 15. John 14, 15, and one person also to read, open John 15, 14. John 14, 15. John 14, 15.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
That's a very short verse you have to keep in memory. If you love me, you have to keep his commandment. You see, we have to keep his commandment. What is his commandment? The commandment is the Bible. You see, the Bible. Because Jesus, God gave instruction to Jesus. Jesus has the authority. He handed the authority to the apostles. And with the apostles, they wrote this down for us. So the Bible now is our authority. So the Bible represents God, represents Jesus, represent what the apostles is saying. It's very, very short quotations, which is we have to, and John 15, 14. John 15, 14.
14. Yeah. They are my friend. If you do whatever I command you.
Yeah, because we are here to worship God. You see, Jesus said, you are my friend if you do what I'm commanding you. We are friends of God, but in case if you don't do what God is saying, that is our problem. Acts 2, verse 36. Acts 2, verse 36. All these quotations, it seems like you know it, but at times you forgot it. Acts 2, 36.
Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom ye have.
Yeah, so what just hit the Jews on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and preached. And in the end of the sermon or his preaching, he said, let us be assured that Jesus, whom you the Jews who crucified, God has made him both Lord and what? And Christ. So when they heard this, at times they say it cut onto their heart. It encouraged them to give their life onto God. Colossians 3:17. But lucky can help. Colossians 3:17, please. Yeah.
Whatever we do, you are in
Yeah, that is the authority of Jesus Christ. And let's read the last one. We are all saying this because only Jesus has the authority. So our thinking, our suggestion, and our feeling doesn't count when it comes to God's matter. So Hebrews chapter 5, 8 and 9. Say, though he's a son. Yeah. I want us to read.
8 and 9. Mm-hmm. Though he be a son, yet learn the obedience by the pains which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the father of the eternal unto all them that became him.
Yeah. So Jesus set a standard here. Although he was a son, but he obeyed. So it's not difficult for us to be obedient. So you need also to obey. And if you are going to obey, you can know that there is only one church in the Bible. You see, Christ and his church cannot be separated. Christ and his church cannot be separated. What does this mean? Christ and his church cannot be separated. Because what you can see this time is a lot of people believe God, believe Christ. He came here to do sacrifice, or a lot of things he did. A lot of people, majority, believe Jesus Christ. But what people are not focusing is that Christ also has a church. That one, it seems like it is very difficult to. People are not willing to accept this issue. You see, so Christ and his church cannot be separated. You cannot separate them. Why? Why are you saying that? Because it says some want Christ, but they do not want the church. They say Jesus, yes, the church, no. Many teach that just accept Jesus as your personal savior and then join the church of your choice. That is why I'm saying the Lord's church, you don't join it. But a lot of preachers, at times me, are listening to the radio, those who are got advantage to come to radios, all this thing, internet, all this thing. If you listen, they say, put your hand to TV, this, pray this prayer, and you are free. This is not what God is saying. This has caused a lot of churches, denominations, and God is not pleased about that. You see, Christ and his church cannot be separated. You can't separate Christ and his church. You can't separate them. You see, Christ and his church is bound together. Why? One cannot have the church without Christ, or Christ without the church. So the teaching is saying that you can't choose. It's not about choosing one and leave the other. If you choose Christ, automatically you have to his church as well. So Christ and his church are joined together. They are joined together. So we can read some quotations to support this argument. Say Christ is the head. The church is his body. Christ is the head. The church is his body. A head cannot live if it is saved or separate from the body. So let's read 1 Ephesians 1:22-23, and somebody open 1 Corinthians 12:20. Ephesians 1:23. It's like a man and a husband and wife. They are joined together, so you cannot separate them. And the same thing is Christ and his church. You cannot separate them. You see, that's why God took a marriage. If you, I prefer you look about the marriage, because marriage is always compared as church. You see, God set us marriage as example of the church. So when opportunity comes, you look about marriage as well, because you need to know all these things. So when it comes like this, you can easily understand what Christ want us to know. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, you say what?
22, and have put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all the time.
So here, the book of Ephesians is telling that Christ is the head of the church. For example, like me, when I'm standing here, it seems like my head and my body, you see. So the moment my head would go off, automatically my body also would die. So Jesus Christ is the head of the body. So you cannot separate them. Christ and his church, you cannot separate it, because the church is the body of Christ. If you go as you are going on, you can understand. Christ and his church cannot be separated. Let's read 1 Corinthians 12, 20. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20. Yeah.
But now are there many members, yet but one body?
Yeah. So we have many members. As we are here, we are many members, but one body. So the body is what? As we are going forward, you notice. He say Christ is the king. The church is his kingdom. Matthew 16:18. When I started, we read about that one. Matthew 16, Jesus promised to build his church. And verse 19, he say, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And the key is for what? Is there something you use to open? So on that on the Pentecost day, what Jesus tell Peter came in fulfillment. Peter stood up and he preached, and that day Peter opened the gate, so that a lot of about 3,000 people get access to enter into the church. So Matthew 16:18 and 19. And let's read Colossians 1:13. You see, Christ is the king. The church is his kingdom. Not all at times when you see, Bragai always said that, when you see a kingdom, at times he's speaking about the God, the sovereign rule of Christ. But at times in context, in the Bible, if you read in the Bible, at times in context, he's speaking about the church. Like here, Matthew 16:18 and 19, because I say, I will build my church. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. So here, the keys of the kingdom is not talking about the universal rule and reign of Jesus. He's talking about the church, which Peter has access or advantage to fulfill what Jesus promised to him. So Jesus stood up and preached, and he used the key to open the kingdom. So let's read Colossians 1:13. Yeah. So Colossians 1:13 is a very powerful Bible quotation. You have to remember, he has delivered us from the power of darkness unto his dear kingdom. What kingdom he's talking about? What Colossians people, God delivered them from? He delivered them from the power of darkness, the worship of the adult and adult worship and all these things, and he bring them to the kingdom of his dear son. So here, the kingdom here is represent the church. So Colossians 1:13, he says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness unto his dear kingdom. 1 Timothy 6:15. 1 Timothy 6:15. So Jesus is the king. See, no, everybody in the Lord's church know that Jesus is the king. He's the king of the church. You see, so what here, what we are doing or listening is what Christ has said. You see, what Christ has said. He is the head, he is the king. And he say, Christ is the bridegroom and the church is his bride. If this quotation, at times you know, a lot of times you know, 2 Corinthians 11:1-2 and Revelation, you speak about a lot of that. It says, Christ is the shepherd, the church is his flock. Christ is the shepherd. Because we are looking about why we cannot separate Christ and his church. We are looking about that one. You see, Christ is the shepherd. The church is his flock. So flock and the shepherd are one. We cannot separate them. You see, John 10:11. Yeah. So here, Jesus is saying he is a good shepherd. And the sheep, if you don't have a sheep, you don't have shepherd as well. So the sheep and the shepherd go together. You see, you cannot separate them. So Christ is the shepherd. The church is his flock. You see, Christ is the owner. The church is his possession. He purchased, the purchase price was his blood. This quotation, at times, it seems like you know, Acts 20:28, you know this quotation. Even all the members of the church, you know, Acts 20:28, you read that Jesus, he used his blood to purchase the church. So the church belongs to Christ. So Christ is the owner. So one sad thing is a lot of people has opened churches and all these things. I'm the prophet so and so church, prophet so and so church. And the question is, can you name in the Bible any prophet who owns the church? A lot of different denomination, they say, oh, I'm a prophet so-and-so church, prophet so-and-so church. But if you read from the Bible, from Isaiah, Jeremiah, all these things, nobody has a church. Because to open a church or have a church, there is certain procedure you need to follow. You see, so Jesus said that he purchased the church. You see, he purchased the church with his own blood. So the church is blood-bought institution. You see, the church is blood-bought institution. The church belongs to God. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. This church, a lot of people has come here and died, and it is now we are 21st century. You see, the church doesn't belong to anybody. So nobody owns the church. Nobody has monopoly power on the Lord's church, because the church belongs to Christ. So Christ and his church cannot be separated, because the church belongs to Christ. And he say, Christ is the builder. The church is his building. We have already said in Matthew 16:18, that church, God said, Christ said, I will build my church. The church belongs to Christ, because Christ built the church. I say, one cannot be in Christ without being his church. One cannot be in Christ without being his church. The Lord added to his church all who obey the gospel. As to 38 to 41. Let's 38 and 41. Let's read. You know this quotation because the book of Acts is the place where the church begins. So it seems like a lot, all of us know this thing. So let's read Acts 2, 47. So the Lord asked people to the church. The Lord asked people to the church. That's why I'm saying Acts 2:47. He said those who were baptized will be added. So the Lord is the one who add you to the church. So the church, Christ and his church cannot be separated. And Christ also is the one who add you to the church. The church is very important and is very essential in the eyes of God. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 3. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Do you know that? Do you know that? That all spiritual blessings are in Christ. There's no spiritual blessing in Muhammad, Buddha, all these things. You see, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Let's read Ephesians 1, verse 3. Yeah, so if you want to be want to become blessed, then you need to add allow God to add us to his church. So all spiritual blessings are in Christ. So the church is very important. Christ bought it, as you know. Christ is the king, and we cannot separate ourselves from the church. And it is very, very important that on the first day of the week, you come here, you study, you listen to the word of admonition, you take bread, which represents God's body, you give correction, you contribute, and you sing. You see, it seems like this thing is what is pleasing God. God only wants this, all these things from us. You see, so Christ and his church cannot be separated because what? Because all the spiritual blessings are in Christ. We were baptized into Christ. We were baptized into Christ. You see, if you read Galatians 3, verse 26 to 27, so all those who have been baptized have been put on what? Christ. So when you baptize, you have put on Christ. So you cannot separate it. You see, we cannot separate Christ and his church. We are baptized into his body. You see, Bible say we were baptized into his body. And what is the body? The church. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Yeah, let's read this one because this one is very important. 1 Corinthians 12, 13.
We are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit.
So what body the Bible is saying here? What body? The church. Because you are all baptized into one body, which is the church. You see, so the church is very important, which means we cannot separate it, tear it apart, because Christ and his church cannot be separated. You see, Christ is the Savior. The church is his Savior. Christ is the Savior, and the church is the Savior. Because God is coming, Jesus said, he's going, and he's going to prepare a place for. A place for who? For us. So our hope. At times you use this word hope. You use it incorrectly. Maybe I say, George, will you come tomorrow church? I say, I hope so. That's wrong. That's the wrong way of using hope. Hope is something you don't see it, and we are waiting for it. The hope is what God is going to prepare, the promise God has promised us. That is, I don't know how to explain it very well, deeply, for you to understand. Because a lot of times you use hope in a wrong way. But hope is very, very important. And it is the reason why we are here this morning. You see, hope is the reason why we are here this morning. Because we agree and obey. And you know that Jesus doesn't lie. And what he has said is going to be fulfilled in one day. Even though if you pass away on this earth, God, we know that we are going to receive the reward of hope, which is the eternal life God has promised us. Our time is running up, and I want us to have some questions. So, let's say Christ is the Savior, the church is his seed. All men are reconciled to God, Jesus Christ, in the church. Ephesians 2, verse 14 to 26, and Ephesians 1, verse 22. He said, when Philip went to Samaria, he said, Philip preached Christ in Samaria. When the persecution came and the disciples scattered and all these things, Philip went to Samaria and all these things. So somebody say he went there and preached what? He preached Christ. And what is the meaning of preaching Christ? You see, Philip preached Christ to the people of Samaria. As if you read Acts 8, verse 5. But he preached the kingdom, which is the church, Acts 2, 42, and Matthew 16, 18. So when Samaria people heard it, they what? They obeyed the word of God, and they were baptized. And a story I always love is even a sorcerer became gave himself his life to God, because he noticed that what he is doing is deceiving. He's deceiving the public. And the moment he listened to the word of God from Philip, he was convinced, and he noticed that what he is doing is not good, and he was baptized in that day, and it seems like a lot of joy went on the people of Samaria. Therefore, in order to preach Christ, one must preach his church as well, because a lot of times when you go outside, because a lot of Church of Christ don't preach even the church anymore, and it is wrong, because if you go outside and preach God and preach Christ to them, and when they obey and they listen, and you have to tell them that Jesus also has a church. Jesus has the church, and that place is a reconciliation. They need to come to the church and follow the principle and follow the obedience what God has said together. He said, go therefore, and preach the gospel to the all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then do what? And then teach them. A lot of times you ignore that one, because you baptize people give themselves to God, and you refuse to tell them the fundamentals. You see, the fundamentals is the authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus has the church, and the unity God wants all the Christians to do. You see, the unity God wants all Christians to do. We will follow these teachings when opportunities comes. But at the moment, I want us to stop here. And if somebody has just a question or something to add, of what we have learned so far. Because so far, what we have learned is that this Bible is the authority of Christ, and there is a church in this Bible. And it is a half a time, we have to got a time to find it. And we have also know that Christ and his church cannot be separated. You cannot separate Christ and his church because all two has joined together. That's why I set an example in the early that a husband and wife, they cannot separate it because of what? Because God has joined them together, and it's only God who can separate this issue. If somebody has a quotation, a contribution or something, question you can ask for later what we have learned. Yeah, sir.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yeah.